Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and you are listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. Joining me to encourage you and to continue our conversation about what's happening with this radical Islam and what is its response towards American Constitution, Christians and the Jews, and the killing fields of Nigeria is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
We were just speaking about the killing fields. They were describing the mass killing of Christians in Nigeria. We're looking at Israel surrounded. We're looking at radical Islam in America, where they're professing to stand up for Muhammad, at the same time blowing up our citizens and attacking the Constitution and maiming citizens of America. We got to figure out what's going on. You would think we could see. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to obey and respond during this season. A voice crying in the wilderness. Bear fruit in keeping with our repentance. Preparing the way of the Lord. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, where we're keeping the conversation light. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
You know, we were just talking about, and we're going to go back into it again so we would have it in its entirety, you know, comparing the Bible with the Quran. The Quran is the religious book that the that a Muslim would use in their faith. And, of course, the Bible is the book that Christians use in their faith. And the question is, and you have so many people that are trying to, you know, mesh the two, and even to the point where they came up with a religion called Chrislam, which is, you know, a faithful Muslim would think, what are you doing? You can't do that, because right. That would be to deny Muhammad as the messenger of God to be able to merge with Christianity. And for Christianity to be able to merge with Islam would be to deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And so they can exist, but the fact is that they can't merge, because one actually cancels out the other in your faith. And so, you know, Nigeria, they're talking about, CBN News is reporting, we had in the first hour, they're killing Christians. They're finding pastors that are all, they're just brutalized and killed and just horrifically treated. We're seeing... in Egypt, we're seeing Muslims gather around the outside of a Christian church, a Coptic church, reported by CBN, wanting to begin to stone the church because a young lady who was a Muslim found Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and her boyfriend or her husband or whatever, was a Christian as well, went to Turkey, and they were blaming the church. They were going to stone the church. It's like, That's not a peaceful religion, by the way.
No.
That's not a peaceful religion, and how can it coexist in America if it's going to be against the Constitution and it's going to hurt Americans? And so we're talking about, you know, what is a radical, somebody who's involved with radical Islam? Obviously, it's 1,000 different definitions, but based on what it seems and what we were looking at when I was discussing with an attorney in Florida, who was representing some of those situations, was it somebody who actually believes fully in the Quran. They're just loyal to what the Quran says. They just said it's right, and that's how it should be. Mm-hmm. And then a moderate Islam, a moderate Muslim, is someone who says, you know, some of the good parts, you know, it's not all right. Some of it's right. And a liberal Muslim who Islam wouldn't even accept anyway, they would call an infidel. Mm-hmm. It just says whatever. And so it's important to understand. And then, of course, to preach Christianity, preach Jesus Christ as the Son of God, is to be offensive to radical Islam. It's to be offensive towards somebody who believes fully in the Quran. Mm-hmm. Because to say that Jesus preached Jesus Christ as the Son of God is to say that Muhammad was wrong when he said that Jesus Christ is a prophet, but he's not the Son of God, and there is no Trinity. And we're going to find out about that in a moment. And so they're opposites of each other.
Right.
One's for Jesus because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and one is anti-Jesus as the Son of God, or anti-Jesus Christ, or anti-Christ religions, anti that Jesus is not the Son of God. The confusion comes in for a lot of people because they're not reading their Bible.
Right.
They're not abiding with the Lord, but they're also not reading the Quran that says specifically who they say Jesus is. And we'll have this available for you on the VFN Torch. You're going to be able to see side by side. You're going to be able to see the Quran right beside the Bible. So you're going to be able to read it and compare the two side by side what they say about these things. But listen up, because we want to get a perspective. Are we going to allow people to continue to attack our Constitution, to be enemies? And he says that the president and the senators and the Congress and all that, they're supposed to protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic. And these enemies are enemies of our state and enemies of our government and enemies of our people. They're supposed to protect us from those who want to bring harm to us and blow up our runners who run at a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be protected from these guys. And of course, the law enforcement came in and they arrested these guys. And I appreciate that. It's like, you know, what's going on right here? Listen, this is the explanation between Christianity and Quran, and the Quran, the Bible and the Quran, and Christianity and Islam. Listen up.
In a plot twist so strange it's hard to believe, Christians, Jews, and Muslims all trace their lineage to the same man, Abraham, and their physical roots to the same place, Jerusalem. The religions believe in many of the same prophets, and even the basic framework of many key prophecies.
Obviously you had Abraham, who's the father of Isaac and Ishmael. Now on Isaac's side, he was the father of Jacob, who became Israel, and obviously that's the father of the Jewish faith. And then on the other side, you had Ishmael, and then you also had Edom, or Esau. And it was out of those individuals on that side of the Abrahamic family that many of the Middle Eastern nationalities derive from. Now, Muhammad, the founder of Islam, claims to have been a direct descendant 2,600 years after Ishmael.
It's interesting because we all share that common rootage. As a matter of fact, there is an exhibit at the New York Public Library called The Three Faiths, and three faiths all beginning with Abraham, so to speak.
Jews, Christians, Muslims all point to Jerusalem as the epicenter of their faith, and they all believe that that is where all history will wind up, in part because Abraham was touched by God there, was spoken to and communicated with God there.
All the three major religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, believe in the return or in the coming of a Messiah that is going to bring peace where peace is going to reign supreme on earth.
But who the Messiah is and how that peace is achieved is very much in dispute. The Jewish faith believes the Messiah will be human and will oversee a period of great transformation on earth.
There will be a resurrection of the dead. There will be the return of justice. There will be true peace amongst all peoples. The rebuilding of the temple will take place. Now, there are those who take a bit of a different stance and say, well, it's going to happen through human development, not necessarily in the hands of one person, but collectively it will take place.
The messianic beliefs of Christians and Muslims represent a sort of anti-parallel. Similar stories told from very different perspectives with very different outcomes.
I think of it as a photographic negative of each other.
Christians believe the returning Messiah will be Jesus Christ. Islam's savior is the Mahdi, who will emerge as the Pope, President, and General of the world.
According to the Bible, the Antichrist revives an empire. According to Islamic end time view, the Mahdi revives an Islamic empire.
In the Bible, the Old Testament prophet Daniel says the Antichrist will set up his seat of authority on the Temple Mount in Israel and will actively persecute and martyr Jews as his enemies.
Islam teaches the Mahdi will operate from the same Temple Mount in Jerusalem and will cause Jews and other non-believers to either convert to Islam or die.
On the biblical side, the Antichrist will specifically use the method of beheading to martyr his enemies, to destroy his enemies. On the Islamic side, it's within the Quran that says, strike the necks of the unbelievers. Some translations actually say, behead the unbelievers.
Revelation 13 says, the Antichrist will have an assistant, a false prophet. It refers to him as a dragon in the clothing of a ram or a lamb.
On the Islamic side, Muslims believe that Jesus returns. Again, they call him Isa al-Masih. He comes back as an assistant to the Mahdi. And he tells all of the Christians of the world, your Bible is corrupt. I never claimed to be the Son of God. I never died on the cross. The Christian religion is false. Islam is the true religion, and you need to follow the Mahdi.
The biblical Antichrist will reign for 7 years. The Mahdi, 7 years. Both religions talk about a mark of the beast. Christians believe it will be put on the forehead, wrist, or forearm of those who follow the Antichrist. Only those with the mark will be allowed to buy or sell goods. The Bible teaches that anyone taking the mark will ultimately be cast into hell.
Muslims have borrowed this concept of the mark of the beast. Muslims actually teach this individual known as the Dabat al-Ard. He is the beast of the earth that comes up out of the earth. They believe he will be a literal beast, and it says that he will mark the foreheads of all true Muslim believers. So on the Islamic side, Muslims are actually hoping to be marked with the mark of the beast.
The Islamic faith also believes in an Antichrist figure called Ad-Dajjal al-Masih. It refers to him as the false Jewish Messiah, or Jewish king, who returns claiming to be the Son of God, claiming to be Jesus Christ. And the anti-parallel continues.
So when you look at Revelation 19, this is really the quintessential picture of the return of Jesus in the Bible. He bursts forth from heaven on a white horse. He's followed by the armies of heaven. And then it says the kings of the earth gather together to make war against him. And you ask yourself, you say, what in the world are they thinking? This supernatural man just burst forth from heaven, and they think they can defeat him. Well, when you understand Islamic eschatology, you understand these kings will actually believe that Jesus is the Dajjal, the Antichrist, and they will believe that it is their divine destiny to kill him.
Richardson believes the Muslim people have been set up by their own belief system to fulfill the prophecies of the Bible, believing they are following their Savior, when in fact, they'll be following the biblical Antichrist.
You can't make this stuff up. I mean, you can't make it up. It just, the thing is that there's the contrast, and which is really cool. You need a contrast. You need to decide, choose today who you're going to serve. You can't be on both sides of this equation. And understanding that, this particular, the adversary, Satan, has used this amongst other, used this particular religion to set itself up against Jesus Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything, it's the opposite.
Total opposite.
It's the whole opposite, where we're saying, you know, reading in Revelation that, you know, Satan's going to, you know, come from the earth. You know, they're saying their Savior's going to come from the earth. They're celebrating that, hey, we're going to get a mark. And we're saying, like, don't get the mark because you don't have the mark. And it's like people are lining up. And it's, you say, well, that couldn't happen. Well, look, it's happening. And understand that people are so often forced into to convert, you know, serve, convert, or die. And you'll see that. You can see this when you go to the VFN Torch and look at the comparison. Understand this. God loves Muslims. He loves Muslims, and they're created in his image and his likeness. And you got to go, who does God love? You got to go there, and you can probably hear it by going to the VFN Torch and understand that God loves you. And the belief system of Islam is anti his son,
mm-hmm.
anti Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so how are you going to be in relationship with God when you're rejecting his son as the only way to him? You know, he's more than the prophet. He's the son of God. He's the only way. He's the only way to God through his sacrifice on the cross. And that's just the excellent way to be able to look at this contrast that we're talking about. You can see this on the VFN Torch comparison, the video that you just saw. And you need this. You need this to be able to be on the right side of the conversation to understand that. Also, you know, going to VFNTV.com and go to VFN TV on the menu and watch the State of the Nation, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. And it just breaks it down and begins to show you how this thing has been operating, what's been going on, and why when you see Israel surrounded today by enemies on every side and them forced to have to defend themselves with these nuclear weapons, these biological weapons, I mean, that are being transported, giving it to the Hamas, and they had to take it out, you know, reportedly, mm-hmm. and so they wouldn't get in the hand of these terrorists, the Hamas, and why would... It's just like, you know, I'm looking, I just can't, there's just so many things going on. Understand that it's not something that happened long, long ago in a land far, far away. It's happening in your neighborhood. It's happening right now on the earth in the time that you exist. You have to wake up and understand this. And what you find out when you watch State of the Nation, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel, is that ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. If we don't stand up for Israel, and I thank God for Christians United for Israel with John Hagee, as he's, you know, we are part of our small part of joining with that, as well as holding America's leaders attention to Israel. And you have to stand for Israel. They won't stand for Israel if we don't stand for Israel and ask our leaders to stand for them. You need to find out, you know, where your representatives, where your congresspeople, you know, stand with Israel and say your expectations is for them to stand for Israel, because to be silent is to assure the destruction of your nation and the bondage and captivity of the church, that he blesses those who bless Israel. And so that we saw what you find out in that State of the Nation prophetic teaching is that the first thing that our president did, and I encourage you to pray for the president and his wife and his children, and God tells us and commands us to pray for those in authority over us that you may have a peaceful life, understanding that, you know, God loves our president. Mm-hmm. God loves, he's not into parties and all that. And it's for us to pray, you know, pray for him, pray protection over him, that he can hear from counsel from on high. But the first thing he did internationally is to, he went to Cairo, Egypt, at Cairo University, and President Mubarak, mm-hmm. the president of Egypt at that time, had banned the Muslim Brotherhood, had totally banned them. So there wasn't even legal for them to even function inside of Egypt, but they invited them to his speech in Cairo, Egypt.
Right. Crazy.
And Mubarak wasn't there. And we're seeing why now. And then our president, you'll hear this, begins to paint a whole possibility in his speech of raising the Muslim Brotherhood to power and giving them a place to be able to function. Prior to that, they didn't have a place in Egypt, but our president went and made arranged for the Muslim Brotherhood to be seen in a different light. And they took it and they ran with it. And now they're over Egypt, but now they're beginning to be over all these different things. And we're seeing them even with Congressman Michelle Bachmann talking about that even in our government, she said it's reported in our government that we've literally have been infiltrated by the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we come back, we're about to go to a break, but when we come back from this break, we're going to give you a breakdown. What is the Muslim Brotherhood? What does it really mean? Of course, it's part of Islam. It's Muslims. But it is a brotherhood that was established, and we're going to understand it a little bit more. But they have a creed, which basically means what they believe. And it's going to show you that they're not the Jews' friends, they're not mm-hmm. Christian friends, they're not friends of the Constitution of America. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back in a moment.
culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm presently a student attending a community college, and I'm required to take a biology class for my degree. In the class, evolution is presented as the unifying theory of biology, and when test time comes, I'm going to be required to regurgitate this information back as if it's fact. Evolution can't be proven scientifically, and I'm wondering if I have any legal recourse such that I won't have to do that.
You're going to have to take the test. You don't get to opt out of the curriculum. This isn't a high school situation. They're allowed to teach a curriculum pursuant to their curriculum committees at the college. And you don't have to say, I believe that evolution is correct. If they were to come back and say, look, I'm requiring you to believe this, that would be a very different scenario and a very different question.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, I do want to say this morning to encourage you that VFN TV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and you already like it. It's got the, when you turn on your or open your VFN TV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFN TV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series.
Mm-hmm.
And series, you just touch it, and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, mm-hmm. which also original intent and
right.
Wisdom moments and
prophetic words.
Prophetic words, mm-hmm. and those are series that it has right there. Mm-hmm. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetized. But then at the bottom, you can choose live. Like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's V Victor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program app, and it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom. And we need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king, as his kingdom and the safety of his people. Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better. Be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're talking about comparing Islam and Christianity, looking at the Quran and the Bible, what does it really say? And I was just sharing about how the state of the nation, which you can see on VFN TV, in the context of that, you see firsthand how that the president's first international speech, the first international speech that he had with Cairo, Egypt, was empowering the Muslim Brotherhood, and putting them in a place, and it happened. Next thing you know, the Muslim Brotherhood came to power in Egypt, and Mubarak's dead. Right?
That's right.
Mubarak is dead. The president of Egypt is dead. And next thing you know, we're actually sending money, you know, $1.3 billion to Egypt. And we're sending war planes to Egypt. The first thing that Egypt did was to close down the Israeli embassy and run the Jews out of Egypt. And it's like, hello.
Yeah.
This is major. And you say, well, that's just, you know, that's just their form of go. No, it's we need to understand the Muslim Brotherhood 101. And you're going to hear this, but there's also a whiteboard demonstration, kind of give you an explanation is where did the Muslim Brotherhood come from? Understand it's called the Muslim Brotherhood. So it's Muslims, Muslim Brotherhood. Now, every Muslim's not a part of the Muslim Brotherhood, but this is who's in power in Egypt. This is who it appears that our current leadership is partnering with for a mindset of this is how they're going to bring about what they feel is the right thing in their way of thinking for the world and for America. But we're seeing radical Islam and what it does with jihad, mm-hmm. What happened in Boston up here. But listen, this is, I guess you could call it Muslim Brotherhood 101. Listen up.
Today, the Middle East stands on the brink of full-scale conversion to Muslim Brotherhood fanaticism, yet President Obama does not seem to see the problem. President Obama's hand-picked director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said that the Brotherhood is, quote, largely secular, unquote. President Obama seemed unconcerned about the rise of the Brotherhood in Egypt. In fact, he invited Ikhwan members to his Cairo speech in 2009, tailored the speech to meet the Brotherhood's grievances and indulge his narratives, and cozied up to Muslim Brotherhood American satellites despite their involvement with terror groups all across the world. The Obama policy of courting the Muslim Brotherhood has not changed the brothers. It has empowered them to advance their anti-American program. They are now on the verge of control in Egypt and Libya, and their ideology dominates the Muslim world. But what is the Muslim Brotherhood? Well, in 1928, a young Egyptian educator known as the Guide to his followers and Hassan al-Banna to the rest of the world founded a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. The movement was virulently anti-colonial, but not because Banna was a nationalist or an Egyptian patriot. He was neither. Banna's loyalty was to the Muslim Ummah and the ideal that Islam must dominate across national lines. He was anti-colonial because he abhorred the West. The Brotherhood's development was spurred by Turkey's rigorous campaign of secularization. Following the final defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, Kemal Atatürk had spearheaded a successful independence movement, expelling occupiers and establishing an independent state. Determined to turn westward, Atatürk drove Islam out of the public square and marginalized it in the classroom. In 1924, he abolished the caliphate, a symbolically shattering event for Muslims. Banna had drawn precisely the opposite conclusion about the sorry state of the Muslim world. For him, Islam was the solution. The problem had been too little of it, not too much, and not just any Islam. Banna had in mind a very particular brand, Salafism. The term Salafia comes from a phrase meaning righteous ancestors, referring to Muhammad and his companions. Banna believed that by mixing Islam with modernism, Muslims had strayed from the path. And the only way to restore the Islam of the founders was to faithfully implement divine law called Sharia. With Sharia's injunctions firmly in place, the Muslim nation would inevitably rise to the hegemony that was Allah's due. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. It's widely perceived to be representative of true Islam. In the late spring of 2011, the Mapping Sharia Project published conclusions from an important study. After surveying 100 randomly selected mosques across the United States, the authors found that 81% of them disseminated Islamic texts that advocate violence. In nearly 85% of the mosques, the imam favorably recommended this literature for study by congregants. Moreover, 58% of the mosques invited guest lecturers known for promoting violent jihad. Now, this is the ideology of the Brotherhood, and this is the same Brotherhood that has dominated the so-called Arab Spring. It has played President Obama for a fool and the West for suckers.
And it's so important to understand that this is this man's opinion about our current president. We don't take that necessarily same opinion that he takes, but to understand that this is how they're thinking things are going to work out for whatever reason, that we need to partner with the Muslim Brotherhood. And even to the point where, as I said earlier, that Congressman Michelle Bachmann, you know, made a public statement that for some reason she was questioning, why are we erasing everything about Islam in the FBI files and the CIA files and all these different investigative branches of government, the Federal Bureau of Investigations is what it does. Mm-hmm. And then befriending the Muslim Brotherhood in the context of, well, if they're understanding what their objective is, then to establish the caliphate, which would be the Quran as the law, Islamic law, that would mean to do away with the United States Constitution.
All right.
That all of our rights come from God, and we're all have the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in the context of that, that all that would just crumble down. That the First Amendment would go away in a caliphate. The First Amendment, that they would say, no, it's Muhammad and Muhammad only. Mm-hmm. That it's the Quran and the Quran only. Of course, the Second Amendment would definitely change, and all of them would, because it would be off Sharia law. The Constitution would be done away with. So you think about it. What is the creed? What are they? And they mentioned it briefly, but you have to understand it. So if we partnered with, or appear to be in relationships with the Muslim Brotherhood, who, as you heard and we saw, and you can see firsthand if you watch the State of the Nation on VFN TV at VFNTV.com, you'll see the president speaking at Cairo University in Egypt, saying these very things himself. He's saying it himself. He says, I consider it my job as the president of the United States to fight against any negative stereotypes. Mm-hmm. Of Islam, no matter where it is in the world. Well, as a human being, and even as American, I mean, that's something you can do. Mm-hmm. But as the president,
right?
You know, as the president of the United States, you're supposed to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against enemies, foreign and domestic. You know,
right?
And if Islam is an enemy of, if Muslim Brotherhood sets themselves in an adversarial role towards our nation. It's like, hey, you know, what's going on? Listen again. This is the creed of the Muslim Brotherhood. And let's hear the creed, what they believe and what their focus is. So we can say we should not be in a partnership with somebody who's going to try to bring destruction to the Jews, to Christians, and to the American Constitution. Listen up.
The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
And you have to understand that the Prophet, and saying that Muhammad is the Prophet, which means he heard from God and he wrote the Quran, is to say then the Bible is not correct, that Jesus is not the Son of God, that he is a prophet, but he'll have to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God, but he'll be the assistant to their God who comes out of the ground and puts a mark on everybody.
Right.
You know, and understand this is, and understand, I'm going to play it again so you can hear the creed. This is the creed of the Muslim Brotherhood. Listen up.
is our objective. The Prophet is our Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
Okay, let's hear one more time.
Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
One more time.
Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
Okay, one more time.
Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
This makes sense when you see two young men who are following Islam, who are Muslims, who thought that things were going wrong based on one of their ones that's arrested now, saying that Muslims are being treated wrong in Afghanistan. And so he and his brother make bombs and they go blow Americans up who are over there as soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're dying. They're committing jihad.
Right.
They're dying. Their highest call would be to die for in the name of Allah, to die for their God. And so that's a high call. Somebody said, why would anybody do that? It's because we don't understand the contrast between the Quran and the Bible, between Jesus and Muhammad. There is one is for Christ and one is antichrist.
Right.
Yes, they do acknowledge Jesus Christ, but they acknowledge him as a prophet, not the Son of God. They deny the Trinity. They say there's only one God. And there's not a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, it is a little complicated to figure out, but you know, you can lose your mind by trying to figure it all out, but you can lose your soul by denying it. But the only way to God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so, but we're trying to get a perspective here. So you see these young guys who've been, they call radicalized, which means based on what we're understanding then, they became in tune with who our president empowered in Cairo, at Cairo University then, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
So really, I mean, think about, so who really stirred these guys up? Probably think, well, look, the president went over there. I'm an American. I'm an American citizen. He went over there. He began to paint a picture of the Muslim Brotherhood who became empowered, right? And so they're trying to figure out who radicalized these young men. But if you're coming from a perspective that all you're hearing is that, what we just heard, and the Quran is a word from God, then it makes logical sense. Then they're doing their religion. These young guys were, and so the fact that they were considering themselves that obviously they were going to die at the end of this, and they were just going to die in the name of their God.
All right.
That's why these statements in worshiping their God right before they kill themselves, right before they. Somebody, you know, blows themselves up or these planes coming into the 9/11. These are the radical believers of Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And if we partnered with them, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, they've infiltrated our government. We look at Fort Hood when I believe it was a general that began who was Muslim. And I guess he would be considered radical Muslim, which he's a full believer of. And he felt the very same way. His response was reported from the newscasts were that he didn't like what was happening to his Muslim brothers in Afghanistan and Iraq. Mm. And so he began to kill Americans. And he was an American. But see, now you can understand, it's like, how can these things coexist? How can radical Islam coexist with America? Because in America, you can be Catholic, Baptist, you can be atheist, you know, you can be Buddhist. I mean, you can, but you can't be anti-constitution, anti-American, and you can't take other people's rights. You can't harm other people.
Right.
Don't let them do away with the Constitution. Understand, the Constitution is what the very thing that a lot of people right now are trying to do away with. Do you understand what it's going to be like? I mean, right now they have people dancing around gold calves, I believe, in Oregon.
Wow.
I believe it's Oregon. And it's just like, what is going on right here? Everything that it's like, what is happening? And so part of being wise is understanding. It's Portland, Oregon. Understanding why people do what they do. Listen, even the Word of God tells us to train your children in the way they should go. When they get old, they will not depart from it. Well, they're intense. There was a documentary done called Quran by Heart. And they teach the Quran at a very early age to their children. 81% of Christians don't even read their Bible. There is no expectation of Christian leaders for Christians to even know their Bible. And out of the 19% that are reading their Bible, according to George Barna, the only 3% of them even make any life choices. And it's like, where's this thing going to go? I mean, they're reading the Quran. They're believing the Quran to different levels. You have, you know, radicals who believe it all. You have moderates who believe some of it. And you have liberals who will be considered infidel by the very ones that they're following. And so we got to find out what God's perspective is this. And so these young men were just following the creed of the Muslim Brotherhood then. They're thinking that, hey, if you die in the name of Allah, that you give your life in jihad, then this is the greatest, highest achievement that you can have. So it makes sense, doesn't it? Make sense. So then what do we need to do? We need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to let people know that God loves them, God's got a plan for their life, and that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And under Allah, the name Allah just is God, and I believe Arab, it's just, you know, Arabic, so it's just another God.
Right.
And as if there is another God. And if we don't wake up, if the church doesn't wake up and understand God will stop all this evil. If you haven't yet heard on VFN TV, go to VFNTV.com and watch the prophetic happenings, what's taking place, that there is a storm forming against America. God is fastening a storm against us. Are allowing it to be a fashion, ever whatever your doctrine is, we're fixing to get whipped bad. That we can repent now and God can turn it. God can turn it. I mean, one of the teachings is SOS, the tell of two kings. You know, either government's going to be God or God's going to be God. You can't have them both. And you have to be willing to trust God when God's your leader. And we don't have a chance to talk about the Republic. We will tomorrow. But understanding that America was founded on God being over America. So if government becomes our God, then God won't be there in our hearts in that place.
Right.
And so the question is then, is America under judgment? And that's also in there. Is America, begin to ask the question, is America under judgment? And it's important to look at why not ask yourself the question? Why not just take time, turn off all the imaginary movies and all the reality TV shows and all the stuff you've been busying yourself with, put down your game station and your cell phones and whatever is taking all your energy and time and your, you know, run after money and say, listen, you know what? I'm gonna sit down and take time. And I'm going to go to VFN TV at VFNTV.com, and I'm going to watch, is America under God's judgment? And what you're going to find out is this. You're going to find out biblical reality that we're presently in the last phase of being turned over to ourselves, the very last phase. There's three phases to God turning a nation over. It's like the first phase happens, will we repent? The second phase happens, will we repent? It just gets worse and worse until finally we're just turned over. And the question about this generation, which is also there, is what do we do with this, with a pagan generation who has a lot of different gods, but not God and not a true God? As I'm looking right now in Portland, Oregon, this belly dancing American dancing around a golden calf. It's like, come on. Come on. You know, and it's just amazing the time and the season that we're in. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'll be right back after this break. You know, Jesus said in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, our father, mm-hmm. is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called us, called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. And it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years of my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that. Because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now. You might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand. What does that mean? You mm-hmm. know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. It said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the 30-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, how can we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective?
Right.
Of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It's just doing what God says, mm-hmm. you know. And so, Vine, which is Jesus is the vine,
mm-hmm.
fellowship is what the church does, and network, we all stay together and stay rightly related, which is you know, Psalms 133, you know,
right.
and John 17:23. And so, what came of that was called, we call it the Vine Seminar, the mm-hmm. Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is. There's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain
mm-hmm.
how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right.
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed it every step of the way. Well, we share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out. Let them know that you are interested in it, and we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. We're going to move on to a more lightning topic from the Word of God. And thinking about, I just love the Word of God. And we got to look at how things really are. We got to open our eyes and realize God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So we have to know what's happening. But when I think about not hindering our way to heaven. I mean, think about it. You don't want to create a hindrance towards your access to heaven.
Right.
Because everybody always says, not all everybody, and not always, but you hear continually in a dark land, everybody's in a better place.
All right.
Sometimes you have to say, can you open that casket one more time and let me see? I think I'm at the wrong funeral right here because
about?
That person lived with the devil the whole time in their life and they never once wanted to follow the Lord. But I think about Joseph. I think about Joseph and his life. And Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob. Mm-hmm. And he was really loved by his father. And if people say, well, that's kind of unfair. Why would he have a favorite son? But you have to understand that he was swindled and hoodwinked early in his life by his employer who got him to marry his other daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed with her and they had children and God honored all of that. Her name was Leah. But he was in love with Rachel. And Joseph was one of Rachel's first child. And so obviously that he had this attachment to Joseph here. And he had a coat that he fixed him up with a nice little coat, had different, you know, coat of many colors. But because of that relationship, his brothers were very jealous of him. And God was speaking to Joseph and he shared it with his brothers.
Mistake.
And the first thing he said, hey, kill him. Yeah, that's what he's like. It's amazing. It's a good sign that you heard from God. And he was obedient to his father, whatever his father wanted him to do. And I think this is like, my goodness, this is a good son. But yet his brothers plotted to murder him. Eventually, they settled on selling him into slavery. They took the coat that his dad gave him, put lion's blood all over it, and told their dad that he ripped his heart out and said, your son is dead. I mean, these are evil, evil things these guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets sold into slavery only because he was going out to do what the father wanted him to do. Next thing you know, he tells, go down and check on your brothers. He ends up being done this way and sold into slavery, just doing what his father told him to do. And then he gets sold into slavery, Joseph does, and you think about it. I mean, think about what's going on inside of you during all this.
All right.
Then he was falsely accused of a sexual crime. He was put on a predator's list, if they had one of that day.
All right.
And he was locked up in jail, falsely charged, and he was serving time on false charges. Think about it. There's two ways to respond to this. Either way, you're going to be broken. I mean, you're not going to be unbroken through this. The first way is revenge, hatred, public exposure of the evil, killing. I mean, that's what Cain did, right? Killed Abel.
Mm-hmm.
Angry with God and what he allowed you to go through. Or the second way is to forgive, to love, to cover their sin, to realize all that happened to you was father filtered. Though those who did it to you and did these many evil things may have intended to do the evil, to know that God actually intended it for good, that he was doing something. Realize that if you choose to not forgive and to hate, every time you hear that person's name or your brother's name, you're just going to cringe. Your heart's going to it's going to repel that person because you're holding offense and you're holding anger in your heart. But if you choose to forgive, love, and cover and look for God's plan in what's happening, then you'll enjoy their presence. It won't bother you a bit. And this is very, very important because they may be a bit shaky around you because of what they did, because they know it was evil, but it's all, you know, that's what they're going to have to walk out. But Joseph was only one of 12 brothers whose names, by the way, including Joseph's, are on the gates of heaven. Could you imagine instead of 12 gates into heaven that there's only 11 because you killed one of the brothers?
Wow.
That was doing you wrong? Or could you imagine never forgiving your brother and then you're about to enter heaven, but then you look over the gate and you find out the name over the gate is the person that you chose not to forgive. And your heart cringes because you're thinking, this man did evil to me. Well, what did Jesus say? Well, 1 John 3:15, we're in the Word of God, we're told that anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in Christ. You know that. So to enter through that gate of heaven means you have eternal life. And what they're saying right here is like, hey, if your heart cringes when you look at the name over the door, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You ain't getting in. Jesus said in John 13, 34 to 35, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you're my disciple if you love one another. He didn't say, hey, Joseph, you can't love your brothers. That's not saying that. He walked it out when people were persecuting Jesus and crucifying Jesus and calling God Satan. He just kind of trusted himself to him who judges justly. He did not even avenge himself. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, 14 through 15, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. This is so important because what if the name of the person that you're not forgiving, that for whatever reason it was Father filtered, that God allowed that person to work you over? Mm-hmm. You think about it. And then you're going to let that person keep you out of heaven? Mm. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 through 21 says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. He has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. You see, Joseph understands what we have to understand. He understood this, and he talks about it in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 through 20, when his brothers, at the end of their excursion of selling him into slavery and doing him this wrong and going through all these injustices, but yet the storm that came against them brought them to a place of being at Joseph's feet, and they were terrified, thinking they knew what they deserved. They deserved death. They deserved destruction. That's what we all deserve at the foot of Jesus, by the way. Mm-hmm. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. I am in the place of God. Am I in the place of God? You intended me harm, but God intended it for good to accomplish what he wanted done, so that many lives would be saved. Realize God is in complete control. Understand this, as we're told in Revelation 21. He says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from gold. And in verse 12, and it had a great high wall with 12 gates, and on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Understand that when you read about Joseph and his brothers, that God was doing something. He was working something out. And if you misunderstand how God does things, if you misunderstood how he's going to bring things about, you have a fence in your life. You've been taken down by the bait of Satan. You not only will you not enter in through that door because you're repulsed by the name over it, you're not going to be allowed in if you don't forgive as God has forgiven you. I want to encourage you today to take on the same mindset, understanding that though they did these evil things against Joseph, Joseph understood that he's not in the place of God, and neither are we. But God is always in the place of God. It's for us, as followers of Jesus, to do as Jesus did, to do as Joseph did, and entrust ourselves to him who judges justly, knowing that the very person that gave you the hardest time in your life, their name may be on the foundation of your mansion in heaven. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.